Good morning. This is At Issue. We're on WGXE 90.7 FM, broadcasting from Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. I'm Victor Mandolia. I'm in the Hudson studio. And we're going to be talking for most of the show about the recent upheaval at the Register Star, our local daily newspaper. With the firing of reporter Tom Casey and the resignation of Francesca Olson, the city editor, and Billy Shannon, a reporter, and Adam Shanks, a reporter for the Chatham Courier, who also wrote stories in at the Register Star. Later in the show, we'll be joined by John Friedman, who is the alderman from the Third Ward. It was Alderman Friedman's choice to not always stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and the moment of silent prayer or meditation that is offered at the Common Council meeting. And so he'll be joining us later in the show to discuss his feelings about the way that things have gone at the paper, and also there was a film crew from Channel 6 News last night, the CBS affiliate in Albany, which I think basically staged a very strange quote-unquote news item. So we'll be talking about a little bit about that a little bit later in the show. But some of you have already heard this interview. We recorded an interview with Francesca Olson, Tom Casey, and Adam Shanks on Friday about the firing and the resignations at the paper. And so we're going to run the interview that we did that hasn't aired on the station yet, but it has. It was on the At Issue Facebook page and a number of other places. So we felt that it was important to. I felt that it was important to get the perspective of the employees out there in their own words as soon as possible, and not wait for the show this week for them to have the opportunity to get their thoughts put out there. So we will cut to the interview and. And we'll be back in about 20 minutes. This is, again, the interview with Francesca Olson, Tom Casey, the reporter who was fired at the Register Star, and Adam Shanks, who resigned along with Billy Shannon at the paper. So, and by the way, I mentioned that in some of the lead-up press or the lead-up promotion for today's show, I mentioned that Billy Shannon would be joining me as co-host today, and he wasn't able to make the show. So, but now on to the interview done last Friday here at the studio. We'll be right with you. Just a moment. We're having a little technical issue. Good morning. This is At Issue. We're on WGXE 90.7 FM. This is a recorded interview that we did on Friday afternoon with Tom Casey and Francesca Olson, formerly of the Register Star, and Adam Shanks, who is formerly of the Chatham Courier and the Register Star as well. So we are going to be discussing some of the issues that have come up around Tom Casey's failure or interest in having his name removed from his story And so maybe I'm going to just pass it off to Tom. And Tom, you could tell us a little bit about the background, about the story, and what has transpired since then.
Yeah, thanks, Victor. I guess it revolves around, I had asked for my byline to be removed from a story that I was not comfortable with adding two paragraphs into it. I was covering a Common Council meeting about the budget, and my executive editor had asked me to put these two paragraphs in about Third Ward Alderman John Friedman not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, that our publisher was tipped off about it and then was telling our executive editor to put it in there. And it kind of went back to a previous meeting where this had happened once before, and Fifth Ward Alderman Robert Donahue had just turned and asked him why he wasn't standing for the pledge, and he said, you know, that he chose not to. And we had a long discussion about this and whether or not it was a newsworthy event in the meeting and whether it should be addressed. And we agreed that it shouldn't have gone into the story. It really wasn't a newsworthy event in it.
And so this was a previous time?
Yeah, this was a previous meeting. And then I was told following that, you know, we made a wrong call on that. And if it happened again, it should go in the story. So I go to cover the budget meeting, and they have the Pledge of Allegiance, and he didn't stand again, but there wasn't the same reaction. I didn't really notice any audible, you know, people weren't standing up and shouting or saying, you know, why aren't you standing for the pledge? There was really no backlash to it. There was no controversy around it, and, you know, the meeting went on. It didn't interfere with the meeting at all, so I went back and just wrote this story about the budget, and you know, I got the phone call after I had left and filed the story that, you know, asking why wasn't it in the story, and I explained that I didn't witness anything. There was nothing to write about. You know, there was no controversy that had happened at the meeting, so I had nothing to write about there. But I was told, you know, you have to go back and put it in the story. And, you know, after having a very similar discussion that we had after the first occurrence, you know, I eventually agreed. I said, okay, I'll go back. I'll put it in. And then after I'd put that paragraph in, I asked Francesca if she could just take my byline off the story because I didn't feel comfortable putting that in into the story. And she said that was okay. And then, you know, then the next day I ended up getting fired for removing my byline, asking for it to be removed.
So, Francesca, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your feelings about it. I mean, you were the city editor at the paper.
I did agree. I'm the person who lays out the paper, so it was my muscle movement that took the byline off the story, technically. Uh-huh. I think that it's a completely reasonable request for a reporter not to want his name on a story that he feels does not professionally represent his writing. I think that putting a strange paragraph at the end of a story that is clearly not about, like, here's everything that happened at the meeting. This was a very nicely done, actually, Tom, city budget story with, you know, who's getting raises, whose departments are getting cut. They just had a whole shakeup with the youth department. They're removing a youth director. We have a lot of people in Hudson, a lot of young people in Hudson who might really benefit from increased youth programs. Like, that's a fairly significant thing. So to add a paragraph at the end of such a story that says, oh, by the way, this guy didn't stand for the pledge and it didn't interrupt the meeting, ... to reach reporter Tom Casey, like, I wouldn't want my name on that either.
Right.
And I wouldn't want, you know, this is a newspaper that has classically hired a lot of people who are new, who are out of college, who are ready to become professional journalists. And, you know, I wouldn't want at my next job interview someone to Google me, and which happens to you now if you're a journalist, you're going to get Googled before your job interview and see this. If I was looking at your resume and I searched you online and I found this, I would be, as an editor, like, well, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would either I'm going to call you in because I want to hear the story, or I'm not going to call you.
So it seems like a drastic measure to fire you over requesting a byline be removed. In fact, in union shops and union papers, that's something that most reporters are allowed to do if they feel that they are.
We've actually gotten a lot of support from many other local and regional journalists. I've worked with a lot of different journalists at this point in my life, and everyone that I have ever worked with has texted me or called me or emailed me to say, we're so proud of you. You did the right thing. Mm-hmm. This was the right thing to do. And many journalists who work at guild newspapers or have a union representing them have said this would have never happened had you had a union.
Right. So so after your firing, then a number of other people resigned. So it was yourself, Francesca, and Adam, and Billy Shannon.
Billy Shannon, right. Also our former crime and police reporter.
Maybe Adam, maybe you could tell us your thoughts about why you took that drastic of a step as well to support your colleague.
I had a meeting with the publisher, and I heard his side of the story, in which he essentially said his thoughts were that Tom was censoring the news by not writing about this, and he spoke for a little while from his point of view, and I still felt that I would, in the same situation, I would have acted exactly as Tom did. So I didn't feel comfortable working in a place knowing that if I acted to uphold the integrity of my writing, I could be fired within a day without any warning, without any suspension. So I resigned.
You know, I was in the room on the first incident, and to your credit and just to reassure people, that any grumbling or commenting was about Bob Donahue and the way that he was attacking John Friedman. It was not about John Friedman not standing for the pledge. And so it seems as if, you know, the story is not that. It's more the out of line behavior of Donahue.
And the second time is when it happened, you know, that's, I felt like we were sensationalizing something there because, you know, there wasn't that sort of outrage from the public, and there were, you know, I didn't get any phone calls or emails. People didn't come up to me after the meeting to talk to me about it. You know, there wasn't that sort of outrage that he wasn't doing it. So that's, you know, it was just the pledge had happened and then right into the meeting, you know. So that's really one of the reasons why I felt it really wasn't a newsworthy anecdote to put in there.
And the other thing is that he also he sometimes stands for the pledge, he sometimes doesn't stand for the pledge. It's
something that I guess that's
I think it's also really important to mention here that Tom was the Hudson reporter for more than a year, and, you know, it's not like he just walked into the meeting blind. He knew everybody on the Common Council already. He has plenty of trusted sources, just like any local reporter would. And not once, right, not even once, has anybody from the community called Tom and said, I think this is an issue.
No, that's
right.
And that's one of the reasons why I took issue of making this addition to the story. I felt that we were, if anything, we were creating news out of it, and I felt that that isn't fair to the public. It's not fair to the community to have this in there when there's a really important discussion to be made about the budget and, you know, those numbers that are coming in. And it's, you know, it's tight times for a lot of municipalities, and people are really watching the budget in Hudson itself. You know, it's a city that's trying to maintain its programs, and it's trying to maintain its services. So,
without raising taxes.
Yeah, and so that's really the important part of that. That was what that meeting was about. That's what was happening there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this addition didn't happen, really. You know, there wasn't this controversy there. So.
Right. So as far as your, you know, and I'm addressing Francesca, so as far as your feelings about it, I mean, you really backed up your reporter immediately, but how did it come down that you wound up resigning?
Well, you may have seen leaked on a local blog a letter signed by seven members of the former newsroom staff of Hudson Catskill Newspapers, both the editor and reporter at the Chatham Courier, and then every reporter at the Register Star, me, and the photographer. So that's seven people. And that's everybody, I think, but one or two people that work in that entire department.
Right.
So that started things. That started the ball rolling on Wednesday.
Right.
And I was called in first, and I was asked if I was resigning and, you know, am I a part of management? And I said, I stand with my staff. And I was asked, well, then do you stand against us? And it's not really black and white. Like, it's not like exactly, but okay, what, I guess so. So it became clear during that meeting that I was pretty much going to have to resign. Mm-hmm. And so I did.
And
I can't, you know, I can't stay. I'm a manager, or I was a manager of the Register Star newsroom. And so my boss frequently said to me, oh, make sure this person writes about this, you know, make sure that they get this piece of paper, make sure that this email is sent. And that's my job. I'm happy to do that. But I wasn't a part of the decision making process in this particular instance at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that you should be able to pick and choose when your newsroom manager gets to be part of thinking about and talking about the news.
Right. And had, for any of you, had you ever experienced being told what you had to write previously? I mean, obviously you have stories to cover sometimes, but had anybody ever told you the way that it had to be written?
Well, there's a difference between saying, you know, oh, this is totally, you have to check this out. This is so interesting. I mean, we're interested in constantly everything. We're reporters. Like, right. I want to know everything about what's going on in this room right now. So, but if that's different than saying, you must add this to this story, that is the decision. The decision is final. Mm-hmm. You know? No, that's all. That's all.
But, and that's never, and but none of you have ever, had ever experienced that before.
No, nothing like this. Right. Yeah,
this was a
unique, you know, instance. So,
so a lot has happened since all of this happened. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's gone on since then?
Well, we've gotten so much support from so many people, and so many people that I didn't think that it would be like this. Mm-hmm. And I am just, that's why we're on the local radio station, because this is still our community and we still want to tell you what happened. And it means a lot to me to be able to do that. And just, it means a lot to me that people are tweeting, I stand with at Tom Casey Report.
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, it's been a very hectic week, and, you know, you're trying to make sure that you can, you know, get on your feet and try and figure out what you're going to do next. But through the whole process, it's just been amazing to hear from the community and, you know, from my friends and family, and just, there's been a lot of outpouring of support and people just, you know.
Yeah. Yesterday we were in the falafel place in Park Falafel and Pizza and a woman just poked her head and she saw Tom and looked at Tom and said, you're a wonderful reporter. Congratulations. And then she gave him the thumbs up and walked away, and we had never seen her before.
It's and just little things like that.
Wow.
Just, you know, kind of give you,
So, as far as like the background or anything, have we missed something? Is there anything that you wanted to just talk a little bit about, you know, how things went down, or you know, I just want to feel, I want you to feel like you've been able to talk about everything that you have,
that
you're interested in.
I want to, I just want to clarify one thing. Obviously, if you live in this community, you probably read like the Gossips of Rivertown, and you probably read Sam Pratt's blog. So this is at this point like just a follow-up for many people that are probably listening to this. And I just want to clarify that Tom, an editor, did not insert those paragraphs. Tom was instructed to write them, and in fact he did write them. And I think that that's a really important distinction to make, and it shouldn't be repeated over and over and over again that somebody else wrote these paragraphs in this story. Tom wrote all the words in that story.
Mm-hmm. But on orders.
Yeah.
and but as far as the and as far as the coverage that the like the blog coverage and everything, have you felt like it's been fairly accurate? Other than that issue, is there anything that you take issue with?
Honestly, it's been pretty accurate.
You can leave it there.
Yeah. But.
As far as your feelings go, I mean, obviously, the outpouring of support is a big deal, and I think that, you know, I would think that for any employee of any, you know, of any business, for people to let you know that you're appreciated and that you that people are standing with you, I think is a very positive thing. It must be.
It certainly helps. It's just, you know, one of the things that I'm just most upset about is I want to continue to, you know, make sure that the community is informed and that the community gets the news it deserves, and that I just I wish that I could keep, you know, writing about Hudson. That's right. The thing that really is unfortunate about this whole thing, because I really, you know, I really loved being able to cover all the news that's happened here, and to have that support and people in the communities, you know, saying, hey, we appreciate, you know, what you've done, and it does certainly, you know, it helps you feel good.
And you've recently moved to Hudson.
Yeah, I moved here in August.
And now, I mean, you are each unemployed at this point, and are you, I mean, looking for work? So if anybody needs good reporters or editors.
Yeah, this is my reference for Tom and Adam. They're both extremely good reporters and have never turned down a difficult assignment or a complicated assignment. And it's a shame to lose them, I think.
And now the paper is running on a shoestring at this point. I mean, there's only a few people left.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I have no hard feelings against the people who are still at the Register Star, and I really still respect their work. And most of them are my really close friends.
Right.
And I feel terrible that they're in this situation, but I couldn't stay there.
Right. What else?
I think I would like to add that part of the reason I think Tom stood up for what he did and why I resigned, you know, talking about the community reminded me of this, is that I think it undermines our work for the community. That's how I always feel. That's who I've always felt I work for, is that I cover events for the community. And I think that it undermines that work if now the community knows, and did before I resigned because the blogs were talking about it, that at any point, what will be in my story, if need be, or if the publisher decides, is not what I see and what I report on, but what he's told by an anonymous source.
Mm-hmm.
And that discredits my work from here on out,
right,
if I continue to write for that newspaper,
right,
because
right,
it's not based on what I've seen and what I've reported.
Right. It's really a shame. I mean, this whole situation. I mean, I know many people have felt like the reporting and the paper had reached a certain level that has.
We were legitimately doing very well. The instances where corrections ran were just like once a month at most.
It used to be a few.
It was completely different when I was a reporter. There are simple things that as a newspaper editor, I feel it's important to do. And they're like little things that you would never think about if your job wasn't to put together the newspaper, like just uniform spacing in between elements and hairlines. You know, that's so boring to say on the radio, but it's true. That makes it look more neat.
Right.
You know, just things like that. And we worked so hard, and we were a great team together.
Mm-hmm. Would any of you consider going back if the situation were corrected?
I think it would have to be a completely different situation.
Yeah.
And I don't think that any of us are going to be asked to go back.
Is there anything else that we haven't touched yet that you feel like you really want to let the people know about? I mean, first of all, I do want to say I appreciate so much you coming on, and I know that you want the people to hear the story, and you want them to hear the correct story. So I think it's to your credit that you have all stood up and want to say what you want to say. I think get it out there. It's great.
But yeah, we just really, you know, it's not, we didn't want to come on here and try and, you know, bash anyone or really do anything negative. We just wanted to, you know, get the story out and, you know, talk about it. It's something that, you know, that's really why we want
this happened here where it's only fair if you know this is where you live.
Right. So, well, I would say I appreciate you coming on, and thank you so much, and good luck to you. We wish you all the best, and hope that,
can I please buzz market our Twitters?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. you can reach me via Twitter at Francesca B. Olson. So please do.
And Tom, you're at?
I'm at Tom Casey Reports.
And are you on, Adam?
Yeah, I'm at Shanks Adam.
So so you know how to reach everybody here, and just all the best to you, and I know it's a horrible time for it to happen, but we wish you all the best, and
thanks a lot. Thanks.
Hope that things get things turned around. We'll be right back on At Issue. And we're back. This is Victor Mandolia. This is At Issue. We're on WGXE, broadcasting from the Hudson Studio. That was an interview recorded on Friday with Tom Casey, the reporter who was fired from the Register-Star. And then also accompanying him was Francesca Olson, the city editor at the Chatham Courier, who also contributes to the Register-Star. They both resigned their positions along with Billy Shannon in protest of Tom Casey's firing at the Register-Star. So in the background, I mean, you know, you heard a little bit about the how the whole thing started with the Alderman John Friedman not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer or silent meditation at the beginning of the show. So I'm joined in the studio by John Friedman. Hi, welcome to the show. there you go. Try it again.
Better?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Sorry about that. So we're going to just play the Channel 6 News, whatever it is. RGB was there. Lance Wheeler, who does a lot of video for Channel 6 and has his own video channel on YouTube and on public access on Mid-Hudson Cable, was there and recorded a segment. There's a longer segment on YouTube, and this is the segment that was broadcast on the 11 o'clock news last night.
Pledge of Allegiance. A Hudson City Council member got a lot of attention after he refused to stand and recite the pledge during a recent meeting. Angered veterans accused John Friedman of being disrespectful, and it appears their protest made a difference. Before tonight's meeting, Friedman told us he did plan to stand, and he did indeed stand and say the pledge. He also explained his reasoning for staying seated in the past.
I don't have a view. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told by the government when to stand and say something. So I don't.
I don't know. You had a change of heart. Maybe a change of a couple people might have made a difference. Seen a few service people and everything.
It's not clear whether the veterans changed Friedman's mind for good or just for tonight. NBC's Chris Blackham. Nationwide, prices are about where they were last year at this time. As a result, 90% of those traveling say they'll go by car.
Santa Claus rang the opening bell at the stock exchange this morning. Stock prices up in early trading. And keep your shirt on, San Francisco. Pants, too. Now that supervisors have approved a ban on public nudity.
Okay, so I'm sorry. There's a little confusion here in the studio. Before we get going with the interview with Alderman Friedman, I wanted to let you know that the opinions heard on this show are mine and my guests alone. They don't represent the opinions or the positions of WGXE, its staff, or its board. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not take positions on public issues. And so, again, these are our opinions alone. If you would like to have your voice heard here on the radio station, you can join us and have your opinions heard here at WGXC by first sending an email to info@wgxe.org or give us a call here at the station, 518-828-0290, and we can help get you on the air. The station is also accepting applications for show proposals, so you can find a lot of information about what's going on here at WGXE. And if you've ever thought about doing a show, either a regular show or a one-shot, you can find out information on WGXE.org about that. So welcome, Mr. Friedman. How do you... How did you like your moment in the sunshine?
They're always about as much fun as a proctologist visit. But I'm completely kind of clueless about the entire controversy and don't think it's really about anything that I've done or not done, mm-hmm. Or sometimes do, because the television news story notwithstanding, sometimes I stand, sometimes I don't. Generally, it has more to do with how much work I have in front of me at the time than anything else. But it also has to do with my general orneriness and not liking to say things that the government tells me to say when they tell me to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I stand for the pledge and sometimes I don't. And I find the whole thing really a distraction, you know, from the issues that are before the Common Council and the city as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process of passing a budget. This has been a distraction from that, I think. We have a lot of major issues facing the city right now, fire truck acquisition, policing issues. Other departments in the city are under stress to reduce their costs, and that has an effect on the ability of the city to provide services for citizens. And so all of these things are important, and they're all being distracted from because there apparently are questions about the sufficiency of my patriotism, because sometimes I say the pledge and sometimes I don't. All in all, I find the whole thing childish and kind of amusing, with the unfortunate side result that one person was fired and three people voluntarily lost their jobs in a troubled sector of the economy and a not so robust economy.
Right. I think, and that, to me, that's the story here. And I think that's the sad thing, is that the first news coverage of what is, a story, the only side of the story is about you and the pledge and not about the four people who are now unemployed. I think it's just ridiculous.
Right. I mean, these are both First Amendment issues, but they're opposite sides of that particular coin.
Right.
And I don't think that, anybody wants to hear a scholarly legal analysis of the First Amendment issues here. And I think they've been pretty well understood by most people.
I see the eyes glazing over the air right now.
Yeah, right. And I think they're well understood by most folks.
Right.
The right to say what you want is not say what you want. So in any event, and plenty of other, bizarre behaviors exhibited by council members throughout the years and even last night that goes unreported
right.
and unremarked and is, much more emblematic of, I think, dysfunction or problems at the heart of governance in the city of Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that the city is necessarily dysfunctional. I don't think that we are. But, there are areas where we can improve, and there are areas where we've traditionally been not so great, and those are the areas that we should be focusing on.
Right.
And these type of imbroglios just are distractions from that.
Well, the one thing, I mean, I was in the room the night that Alderman Donahue confronted you about not standing, but there was grumbling in the audience, but the grumbling was at what he was saying and not what you were doing. I mean, his voice was what people were grumbling about, not your silence. I mean, and I think that's the thing that's missing here. And I think that's something that, you know, that Tom Casey was saying when he was saying, I just didn't think that it was news that didn't, nobody seemed concerned. And it was because one person says one thing doesn't mean that, you know, the whole lid should be blown off of something. And I think it's, you know, I think that they made the right call. Now, Casey said that had they asked him to do a story only about you not standing, that he would have gladly done that, but that it was the insertion of the story in an out of context report that was the issue for him, I think.
Yeah, and you know, to date, still the Register Star hasn't written an editorial about this. There was the letter from the publisher, who just 3 weeks earlier he and I were working on a set of stairs at a Habitat for Humanity build together, mm-hmm. And he seems like a nice fellow. I've never met Teresa Hyland, as far as I know, mm-hmm. But they haven't written an editorial about this because it's a non-issue. It really is. I mean, it's been, you know, just so well understood for so long, you know, since some third grade girl decided not to recite the pledge in some public school in mm-hmm. somewhere in the 70s. You know, this has been a well understood thing, and it's just non-controversial. I mean, I didn't expect it to be. You know, I think besides the story about these young reporters and the editor who lost their jobs or gave up their jobs in protest being the main part of the story. Now, the real subtext here is what it says about governance in Hudson and the changes that are taking place in the city, I think, and how that's perceived as a threat in some quarters. Mm-hmm. And they're using the levers of government and the media that they control,
right,
to try and either slow, halt, or reverse what they perceive of as threatening changes mm-hmm. in the city's public life. And if that's the case, then I would think that perhaps myself and the other aldermen who have been complicit with me, if you will, in this have been
conspiring,
doing exactly what they were hired to do by their constituents.
Right.
And I would also say that for all the strum and drang in the media about this and my willingness or unwillingness at certain times or to stand or not stand for this particular recitation, that I've received, I think it's about 12 emails. All but one of them were in favor of me doing what I think is correct, and only one wasn't, and nobody in my ward has complained to me mm-hmm. or said, you know, this has made them question my judgment or my ability to represent them, and of course, look, if that's the case, then you know they'll have their chance
it's
in about
the ballot
a
box.
Year,
right? Right. So, do you think that, because you have been so vocal and in challenging some of the preconceived notions or the state of affairs in the city as they are and have been for a while, do you think that is part of the issue here? That do you feel like, do you feel attacked, or do you feel that people are coming after you?
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm a target, but I know I set myself up as one sometimes.
Right.
I didn't have any company not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. and so far I haven't, but, you know, and that's fine. I've taken some unpopular stances since I've been elected with the power structure of the city, if you will. Again, my constituents, the ones I hear from, the ones who go out of their way to find me, the ones who aren't my friends, the ones who don't necessarily know me except mm-hmm. maybe to see me walking my dog or they read that
or
I've done something.
Or smoking somewhere.
Or smoking somewhere, although I haven't had a cigarette in 6 weeks.
That's great.
Who've come to, you know, to tell me that they appreciate what I'm doing. And I, you know, look, I'm an unashamed, unabashed liberal. And I this book you can absolutely judge from its cover.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really pull my punches, I'm not worried about my public perception, per se.
I am what I am, and
I don't really, you know, make any bones about it. And
mm-hmm.
I realize I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but you know that's my personality. Now, you know, another side of it is I'm an attorney, and you know we are taught in law school that attorneys have an obligation in society to be active and to do what they think is correct, and I think that what I'm doing is the best for my constituents. I'm doing the right thing.
And I mean, if you wouldn't mind for a moment, I mean, you love your country. You're not patriotic. You just have the problem with the recitation of something that has sort of become.
I don't mind saying the pledge.
Right.
I said it last night. I didn't say it the week before. But I think I said it the month before that. We only say it once a month, I think. Maybe twice. One time before that, I didn't say it. I never say the prayer. I often don't stand for the moment of silent contemplation. I spend most of my professional time in an office by myself silently contemplating. I don't need structured silent
right.
contemplation time. And often we come into the chamber for a council meeting, and there's a large stack of papers on our desk, some of which we've not seen before, and some of which we're going to be discussing that evening. And that's the only time that we have to really look at it before we're going to start to discuss it. And frankly, I'm sent there to work, not to participate in rituals and pageants. I think the rituals and pageants are great. I don't know how many parades we have. Somebody told me 18. That seems like maybe a few more than we actually do. But we clearly enjoy
walking up and
down.
Some are more like a stroll.
Yeah, we clearly enjoy walking up and down the street to the
especially
sound
in the
of
middle
drums.
Of the
right?
street.
and it is, as one of my colleagues has said, the best part of the job. And I agree, because it's the lowest stress and it's the most fun, and it's often followed.
And people
by,
are actually clapping for you.
People are clapping. People are waving. And then often afterwards, there's some alcohol involved. So what's not to like? Mm-hmm. You know, it's good. And it's a weekend typically, or a day off one way or the other. So it's okay. No, I'm as patriotic as the next fellow. I was a Boy Scout till I was 18. I registered for the draft when I was supposed to. I never volunteered for the service, but, you know, I'm sure the service is probably happy about that. So I've been in government service before, and I'm active in my community, and I volunteer probably more than is good for me. Time-wise.
And probably more than some of the people who are criticizing you.
Perhaps. but, you know, everybody has their... Everybody does what they can do, or they at least think about it, and some people do more than others. It's whatever. You know, as somebody who I would never hold up as a hero of mine once said, but he said, and it was right, if you want something done, ask somebody who's busy, and they'll get it done. And so some people are active, some people aren't. That's everybody's got their own level, you know.
No aspersions cast.
Right, exactly. No, none whatsoever. I think most people, given the opportunity, try to work and help. And you see that, and the city is full of people like that on both sides of the aisle. And when we're sitting in a really boring executive session at the city council, like we were last night for an hour, talking about some of the most dry, boring things that you can imagine, although tempers sometimes are aroused, you know, we would all prefer to be home eating dinner with our families than being there doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we are, and we volunteer, and the commissioners in the city who don't get paid, they volunteer their time to make this a better place for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the firemen who are, you know, so central to our ability to live in a wooden town and feel relatively safe, and the EMTs as well, and everybody else, you know, from the people who maintain the streets to the mayor. You know, a lot of people are essentially volunteering their time, because
right.
most people are not well paid in the city government.
Or in the county at all, in
or,
general.
Yeah, and some of them not at all, and they do everything. And one of the things that was most humbling to me when I was first elected was starting to get a sense of exactly how much work it is to run a small little city of less than 7,000 people now,
mm-hmm.
and to make it seem so that you can think about things happening without worrying about them happening.
Right.
Like the traffic lights working and the street lights working, the streets being paved, the lines being repainted every year, the garbage being picked up and what have you. All those things require management and
money. Yeah.
And the fact that so much of it happens in the background outside of our awareness is a testament to the people who do it. So it is a lot of work, and it takes an awful lot. We're all part of that, but some people aren't so pleased that everybody's a part of that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think certainly people should be appreciated for what they do and not, you know, attacked for what they do. We come at things from different angles or different ideas, but I think in general, most people think that they are doing the right thing and want to do the right thing, and you know, just where the right thing is in absolute truth is another story. But
I think that's right. But I also think that change is often perceived as a threatening event, and the city is going through change. I mean, the demographic change has been ongoing now for 30 or 40 years,
right,
in this town,
and not just in the city, but in the county as well.
That's true. And you know, we're seeing some major convolutions. I mean, the Republican Party in the county is about to replace one leader with another. I think they have vastly different styles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I think is necessarily going to be good for the city of Hudson.
Right.
But we shall see. And, you know, that's kind of playing out here in the city council a little bit. And I'm sure this won't be the last minor upheaval,
right,
in this term, or maybe even
and diversion,
in this year.
Diversion of attention. And
that's
that
exactly
of
right. And, you know, and I would strongly suggest people who are listening to this, who are citizens in Hudson and in their own towns, you know, don't let these minor circuses divert your attention,
mm-hmm,
you know, from the man behind the screen.
Right.
Because, you know, when
otherwise you could wind up like Stockport.
Yeah, whatever's going on over there. I mean, and people are being taken advantage of on a wholesale basis.
Mm-hmm.
And
more eyes mean better government. That's what it comes down to.
I think that's right.
More open and the more transparent the transactions are on the inside and the outside, I think, you know, serves the people well. And, you know, and so, you know, these are the kinds of things that sometimes people will go, oh, I would never go to a common council meeting. It's a circus. Well, it often is a circus, but the circus is sometimes purposely planted there in order to take your eyes off of the real issues, which are being, you know, are about to be passed right in front of your eyes, but no one's looking.
That's right. It's some of the best free entertainment in the city. Folks, come out, you know, twice a month we put on this show. We're here all year.
The informal meeting is usually the better one.
Right. Where people's hair is down, so to speak. I think you're right. And I think that it's an inevitable process, and the change will continue. And, you know, this is just a reaction to an election cycle that broke badly for conservative forces and reactionary forces in this country. And people who are partisan in that way are looking for vents for their frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, long-haired hippies who don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, they're good. They're always in season. And but at the same
people
time,
people of color, gays, you got a whole bunch,
yeah,
women,
right,
you got a whole
absolutely
list of them.
Absolutely,
unfortunately, that makes up the majority of the people in this country. But that's the whole other story.
Right, and that's why we find ourselves in the situation we are. And you know, where Rush Limbaugh can bemoan the loss of his America, which was a white patriarchal America, where it was great to be a, you know, white Christian guy, but not necessarily good to be anybody,
right,
else. And you know, moving in a direction where there's greater justice, you know, of all stripes, and
greater,
you know,
equality.
And it goes in so many, you know, so many different levels, and you see a lot of that played out here in Hudson because we are such a, you know, diverse little,
mm-hmm,
city in,
mm-hmm,
a pretty homogenous county, you know, we have so many of those different stresses that you don't see in a lot of cities our size. You know, but I would definitely ask people to come out more and pay attention more, and especially when these kind of diversions are thrown up. You know, there's a reason for this. This is a pickpocket, you know, tapping you on the shoulder while they rub up against your hip and lift your wallet. And people need to be aware of that.
Or your rights, or your environment, or whatever it is that they're after.
Well, of course, in this case, right. You know,
which is usually about dollars, but I mean...
It all boils down to dollars, usually, but, you know, it comes through a variety of sources. And there's just people of common sense to come out and pay attention and ask the commonsensical questions and ensure that partisan bickering doesn't... derail the process or allow one side to steal from the other or from everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We only have about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else that's coming up or that we haven't really hit on that you wanted to sort of just put out there?
Well, you know, there's a few things that are important that people should be aware of besides the budget. And I think the budget is a good one. It's pretty tight. I would have liked to see more conversation about it and more structured conversation about it. But I think having studied it a bit that it does look good. The audit that just came out, I would encourage citizens to go to City Hall or to ask their alderman to see a copy of that. And they can get a copy from the city treasurer's office, I believe, or through the city clerk's office. For a nominal fee, and it's a pretty interesting document, and I don't think it necessarily paints a pretty picture, and people should be aware of it because the mayor and the city council president and the treasurer did a great job putting together a tight budget this year, and we're in a lot better shape than most places, but the trends are not good, and people need to be aware of that. They need to understand what that's going to mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings up the issue of bonding, and we're probably looking at a bond in the next year to raise funds for things like a new fire truck. And
the police station and court, right?
Well, the police station and court are probably going to be part of that. There's, some possibility, I guess, that the Senior Citizen Center could be, although I haven't heard any serious talk about that. I would say that with all the talk about the Senior Citizen Center over the last couple of months because of the bids being so outrageously higher than what we have to spend,
mm-hmm.
That the only group that has not really come to the city, as far as I know, and certainly in my ward hasn't come to me, and I don't know about the other aldermen, but I haven't heard from any senior citizens about this, with the exception of Supervisor Sarah Sterling, who's always been vocal in this mm-hmm. regard. But I would really love to hear from more of the seniors. And caretakers of seniors about what this means and what their thoughts are about this, so we can understand what this means as a priority for the city.
Right.
We have reapportionment of voting coming up, and I really would like to deal with that here next week at the legal committee, so that we can set it up for a December vote, so that starting in January we'll be compliant with the law and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that would make...
And that's the rejuggling of the weighted vote or the changing
yes.
of the weighted vote to a representational, equal representational
system. And, we can all look at that. And, I think originally we had thought that it had crossed some sort of line, but upon closer inspection, perhaps not. But it is getting close. And that's an issue because the wards are so deeply ingrained in the culture of Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that might mean for that structure going forward. There is the question of the firehouse on Warren Street, which is perpetual when the budget comes around. And we've been hearing from the fire department about what they think about that, both from Hoysrat and the other companies. And I think that conversation will continue. The chicken law. I'm still pushing the chicken law because I do believe it's a food justice issue, and I don't think it would make a major difference in the city of Hudson one
right.
way or the other. But I think for some
since people
would
keep chickens here already.
Yeah, clearly they do because we heard of a blood feud that was started over a chicken in the North End a couple of weeks ago from somebody up there, and I understand that was settled peacefully. Through the intervention of clergy, and I'm glad
for
that.
I missed that one.
but we'd like to make that all organized and legal, so that people can keep chickens if they like, and have fresh eggs and meat if they like. And there are a few other things. And as always, I like talking to people when I'm out and about and hearing you know, the things that are bothering them. Parking, I know, is a big issue.
Within reason.
Yeah, within reason,
exactly. So, again, I want to thank Alderman John Friedman for joining me here in the studio. I also want to thank Francesca Olson, the city editor, former city editor of the Register Star, Tom Casey, and Adam Shanks, the reporters. Tom was fired. Adam resigned. There is a Facebook page supporting the Register Star 4. So take a look at that and maybe give them a like if you're supporters. We'll be back next week on At Issue. I just want to reiterate that, and for full disclosure, I'm Victor Mendolia. I am the chairman of the Hudson City Democratic Committee and the vice chairman of the Columbia County Democrats. And the opinions heard here on this station and on this show are the ones heard on the show are mine and my guests alone. They don't represent the official position of the radio station, since it has none on public issues. So thanks for listening. The archive of this show will be up on our Facebook page later this afternoon. It's facebook.com/@issue, spelled out. And we'll be back next week on At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. You're listening to WGXC.